SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. The US on Monday failed to veto a UN Security Council resolution about Gaza that demands an immediate ceasefire for the month of Ramadan, respected by all parties, leading to a lasting, sustainable ceasefire, and also demands the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other government ministers pointed out that the resolution does not condition one on the other. It does not require the release by Hamas of the 134 Israeli hostages it has been holding since October 7th in order for the ceasefire demand to become operative. The US abstained from the vote. The break in tradition by which the US vetoes anti-Israel resolutions has intensified the rift between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Biden. Netanyahu's immediate response was to cancel two delegations who were scheduled to go to the US to look at ways to rid Rafah in Gaza of the four Hamas units operating from there without furthering the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Netanyahu has already given the army the go-ahead to undertake a ground operation in Rafah, but this has been delayed in order to find a way to evacuate or protect the 1.5 million residents there. President Biden believes there is a way of eliminating Hamas's military capabilities without further harm to civilians, and Israel has accepted the concept of a consultation to explore the options. When Netanyahu cancelled the visits of delegations led by Strategic Affairs Minister Ron Dermer and National Security Council Chairman Tzachi Hanegbi after the UN vote, Defence Minister Yoav Gallant was already in the US. He sought to present a sense of business as usual in meetings with top Biden officials in Washington on Tuesday, even as ties between Prime Minister Netanyahu's government and the US descended to their lowest point in years. Gallant told reporters in a briefing between meetings with U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and CIA Chief William Burns, "I am here to emphasize the importance of relations with the U.S. We share 100% of the values and 99% of the interests with the United States." Austin told Gallant in public remarks before their meeting at the Pentagon, "In Gaza today, the number of civilian casualties is far too high and the amount of humanitarian aid is far too low. We need immediate increases in assistance to avert famine." Despite the months-long operation in Gaza by Tzahal, rockets were fired from Gaza to Sderot and other southern Negev communities during the week, showing that Hamas is far from disarmed. Hezbollah targeted Kiryat Shmona with a barrage of 30 rockets on Wednesday, killing Zaha Bashara, a 25-year-old resident of the Druze town of En Kinia. Magen David Adom reported that Bashara was found with no signs of life and was pronounced dead after being rescued from a building that suffered a direct hit. The attack wounded two others. A Palestinian terrorist opened fire at an Israeli van near the settlement of Dolev last Friday morning, leading to an hours-long exchange of fire that ultimately resulted in the gunman being killed in a helicopter strike. Seven people were wounded in the clashes with the gunman, one of them critically. Children who woke up excited to be celebrating Purim in schools and kindergartens were instead confined to their homes for 5.5 hours until the terrorist was found and killed. The terrorism continued on Thursday morning when a terrorist fired at two school buses and a private vehicle on the main road down the Jordan Valley. It is believed that the shooters or shooter may have entered Israel from Jordan. A child and two adults were wounded. The IDF has released new interrogation footage of terrorist Manar Qasem, who was captured by the IDF in Khan Yunis. as a member of Islamic Jihad's naval force. When asked what he did on October 7th, he answers that he entered Israel through a breach in the Gaza border fence between Khan Yunus and between the towns of Al-Fukara and Kuzaya, armed with a handgun and two grenades. He said that as he reached the unnamed kibbutz, he entered the closest home, where he encountered a woman who was startled. "I took her and threw her on the couch," Qasem told the interrogators, recalling in detail what she looked like and what she was wearing. He says, "The devil took over me. I laid her down, started undressing her, and did what I did." Pressed by the interrogator as to what he did, Qasem responds by saying, "I slept with her." And asked again, Qasem said, "I raped her." This testimony comes days after former hostages Amit Susana, age 40, who was taken hostage on October the 7th from Kibbutz Kfar Aza, gave a graphic accounting of the sexual attacks she experienced in Gaza to the New York Times. The Knesset on Tuesday held heated discussions concerning the outline of a bill that, if legislated, could continue to exempt draft-aged ultra-Orthodox men, Haredim, from military conscription. The formal government meeting was postponed due to opposition from Haredi parties, threatened not to attend the meeting and not to approve the bill's amended version. Haredi parties want to raise the age to 35 for those who can avoid the draft. As the exemption from military service requires the men to be engaged in full-time Torah study, it means that tens of thousands of Haredi men would not consider entering the workforce until age 35, a move which economists consider a disaster. The High Court had ordered the state to provide an update regarding the legislation by Wednesday. Otherwise, the state will be required to enforce conscription of ultra-Orthodox men of military age. The law that allows them to enroll in yeshiva full-time rather than serve expired on July 1st. Along with it, the government's ability to continue to fund those educational institutions that teach only religious studies. On Wednesday night, unable to reach a compromise, the Prime Minister asked the court for a further extension in order to design legislation that would allow him to keep his coalition together. As of Thursday, the High Court had not responded to the government request for the further extension. There is opposition within Likud to exempting Haredim. Defence Minister Gallant has said that their continued exemption has contributed to a manpower shortage in the IDF and cannot continue. He is backed by several of his colleagues, including Avi Dichter, Nir Barakat and Yuli Edelstein. Gideon Saar and Yifat Shasha Biton, who joined the coalition along with Benny Gantz after October 7th, resigned from the government during the week in protest at this legislation, as well as their inability to influence war policy. The number of yeshiva students who enlist in the army has remained the same since 2019, reflecting a continuous decrease in the percentage of those being drafted, less than 10%. As the proportion of ultra-Orthodox among Israelis' general population keeps increasing. If the ultra-Orthodox were to be conscripted, the length of compulsory military service could be shortened, as well as the amount of reserve duty. As it is, the army is short of manpower. The war with Hamas has exacerbated the rift in Israeli society over the unequal sharing of the defense burden. A bill on the subject has been submitted by Yesh Atid, led by Yair Lapid, which grants an exception from military service to about 2,000 yeshiva students every year. The exemption age will be 22, and every Israeli youth is to enlist in some kind of mandatory service. Avoiding this without being granted an exemption will be considered, by this bill, a criminal offence. The Attorney General said on Thursday that the draft, the conscription of Haredim, should begin this Monday. Last week, Israelis celebrated the Festival of Purim. The decision of Jerusalem Mayor Moshe Leon to renew the Ad Lo Yada parade after many years, while hostages are being held in Gaza and were fighting a war, came under severe criticism, and the festivities were rebranded as a unity parade. About 30,000 people participated, and there was some heckling during speeches from family members of the hostages. Other cities cancelled their parades due to the war and in honour of the hostages. Ramadan prayers in the capital continued without incident, and the Palm Sunday pilgrimage also passed with high attendance and no security incidents. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.